Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And we welcome you to yet another conversation here on the Scripture Spotlight. We are currently going through our Voice of Prophecy. And we, as always, jump into what the Discover Study Guide has to offer, as that's the current series we are going through. We want to invite you to join us for conversation. But not only for conversation, join us for study. And I'm talking about actually enrolling into this Bible study course, which when you complete, you can get yourself a certificate. And we are looking at the lesson this week, How to Understand the Bible. Now, have you ever sat down and done so to read the Bible, the Word of God, right? You open it up and you immediately feel overwhelmed. Between the history, the prophecy, and trying to apply it to a 21st century life, it's easy to turn a message of love into a complicated checklist. But what if we're trying too hard? What if the goal isn't to be a theology expert quoting verses from memory and doing all that, but simply to know the author? Sometimes we as Christians, as believers, are guilty of overcomplicating the simple message of the scriptures of the Bible, right? Today, we want to talk about the important principles to help you and I to study God's word better, to equip you so you can understand this word. And joining us is Brother Samka, Brother Sipe, who is helping us to understand how we can better understand God's word. Good morning to you, sir, and welcome to Adventist World Radio.
Thank you so much, Brother Derek. Greetings to all the listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to join us and to help us make sense of this topic right here. Now, as we jump in, please share how we can better understand God's word as we study it. Do we need to enroll in a seminary if we are serious about the Bible?
Well, Brother Derek, maybe let me say something that I just encountered a few days ago.
Okay.
I was at the police station, and when I was there at the police station, we're waiting for something, and I was having a conversation with the security guard.
Okay.
And the security guard was of the mindset that in order for us to understand the Bible, we need to look into the subliminal message, the message that is under the message. So basically what he was saying is that the Bible never says what it is actually saying.
Yo.
And I said, what?
Yo.
And I said to him, if you were a father and you're writing a letter for your children, let's say you're working in Johannesburg and your children are in KZN, would you write the letter in such a manner that the children, when they are reading the letter, they are not able to understand exactly what you are saying? Would you write it in such a manner that they would need to call someone from afar off to decode the letter? Or would you just write a letter in words that are easy for the children to understand? And obviously, because it's your children, you know what they would, you know, understand very easily.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes,
it made him pause. It made him pause. And he thought about what he was saying. Because I think he's part of a group or a religious organization that believes what he's saying. So it made him pause. And then, you know, obviously the conversation continued. But basically, my answer is this. In order for us to understand the Bible, we do not need to be enrolling in some seminary or going, you know, through some very long and difficult courses. No.
Yeah.
In fact, when Jesus spoke, when you read in the book of John chapter 7, in verse 15, after Jesus had preached, the people commented, the Bible says, and they marveled at him. And they said, how does this man know the Bible, having never learned? Are you with me? When they heard Jesus speak, they said, this man did not attend any of our seminaries or any of our theological institutions, but he has such an in-depth understanding of the Word of God. How does he know it? So the secret was that Jesus had a relationship with the author. He had a relationship with the Father. And so that is why he was able to understand, having never learned. And I want to go as far as saying this, Derek. I want to go as far as saying this. Many of the Bible writers were actually common people.
Okay.
So it would not be possible for common people to write something that is deep and encoded that needs, you know, PhD students or people who are taught by PhD students to understand. Because it was written by many common people, then the conclusion is that many common people will understand it.
Yes.
For example, the prophet Amos. He wrote the book of Amos. Amos was, you find this in Amos chapter 6. He was a shepherd. He was a farmer. A common person. Are you with me?
Okay.
When you look at David, who wrote, you know, I think he's the one who had the largest contribution to the Old Testament between him and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And David was just a shepherd. Just a shepherd. You look at Peter, James, John. What were they? They were just fishermen. Matthew, he was just a tax collector. So the point is that these are common people. And common people cannot and will not write something that common people will not be able to understand. So common people can understand the Bible if they just but apply themselves to understand it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'll say this, Brother Derek. In order for us to understand the Bible, there are just three things I'll mention, and then maybe we'll move on to the next question. Here's an acronym, POS.
Okay.
We need to pray, we need to obey, and then we need to study.
Mm.
So we need to pray. We need to pray. Why must we pray in order for us to understand the Bible? Well, it's very simple. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 14, the Bible says the carnal man, meaning the natural person, the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Mm.
Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So the reason why you are praying is because, you know, you need spiritual discernment to discern or to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because many people when they are reading and they read, God opened the Red Sea, to many people that is foolishness. So they will not accept what is just written. Are you with me? They will say, no, it must have some hidden meaning. But when you pray, the Holy Spirit will enlighten your mind, will fill your heart with faith, and you'll see that God really did open the Red Sea. Otherwise, he would not have written this so many times that he opened the Red Sea. So we need to pray. And you know, Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them that he was indeed supposed to die and then resurrect the third day. After he taught them, the Bible says, in Luke 24, says in Luke 24, in verse 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Do you see that? So do you see that we need God's help in order for our understanding to be opened, to be enlightened?
Mm.
You know, now I don't want to take long, but I'll share something. Before I was a Christian, I had a red Bible that my grandmother gave to me some time back. So my grandmother was a Christian, obviously. So she gave me a Bible when I was going to university. And I remember I was just fascinated by how people preach and things like that. But I never really was a Christian. I did a lot of bad things. And I used to try and get some verses so that maybe, you know, just to have some, to know some verses at least. And I remember I would read the Bible so many times, but no verse came in and no understanding. No understanding at all. But when I gave my life to Jesus, and now I had a relationship with the author, things changed. Things changed completely. So that's why I'm saying this. I know what I'm saying by experience, not just by reading it. When you have a relationship with the author, when you pray, the understanding will be open. The understanding will be open. Then the second point I said, we need to obey. You see, when you read in John 7, verse 17, Jesus says, if any man wills to do my Father's will, he will understand the doctrine. So John 7, verse 17. So if you have a willingness to do the will of God, Jesus says you will also have the understanding. In other words, our understanding is dependent not on our IQ, but it is dependent on our I will. So if you are willing to do God's will, God will grant you the understanding. Now, how does God gauge a person's willingness? to do his will. Very simple. How does God gauge your willingness?
Mm-hmm.
He looks at how you relate to the things, to the truth that you already know. So if you, there are truths that you already know, but you are not doing them, then God knows that you don't have a willingness to do his will. How then and why would he now, you know, reveal to your mind deep things like, you know, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel? I've seen people cracking their minds trying to understand the book of Daniel. But something so simple as thou shalt not lie. We are swimming in lies, in a pool of lies. Yet we want to understand deep things. What are we going to do with that knowledge if we are not using this simple knowledge of thou shalt not lie? So the most important thing about understanding God's word, it is the willingness to do it. We need to have a willingness to do it. So it depends not on your IQ, but on your I will. That's why when you read in Psalms 25 in verse 14, David says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So the Bible says God's secret, it is with the people that fear him. It doesn't say it is with the PhD students or with the deep theologians. It says
that's true.
It is with those that fear him. So the I will is a very important aspect when it comes to understanding God's word. And then number three, I said, study. You know, this is very important. Many people, they just read the Bible. But God wants someone who is serious about his word, who studies. I mean, think about it. When we want to do well in school, we take out the books, we study, we compare this and this and that. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when it comes to the things of heaven, the things of God, we don't put in the same effort.
Mm.
We just want to, you know, we just want to lie on our side and read on our phone while just before we fall asleep. And then we're expecting to have an understanding. Mm-mm. Make time with God. Make time with God. Set a time in the morning. I'll wake up and I'll study my word.
Mm.
The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it doesn't say read to show thyself approved to God. It says study to show thyself approved.
Yeah.
So we need to study our word. We need to study the Bibles. So we need to make time with God. And not just before we sleep, we open our phone and then we guess a particular verse here. Start with the book of John, read the chapter. And as you read the chapter, highlight where you need to highlight. And as you highlight, try to even memorize the things that you highlighted that really touched you.
Yeah.
And meditate upon them as you go about the day, so that they may be engraved upon the memory. So they may be engraved upon the memory. So I'll stop there. So it's POS. You pray, you obey, you study.
Yes.
That's just the cycle. And God will increase the understanding.
Indeed.
Yeah, amen.
Indeed. No, thank you so much for that. I think a potent lesson that we've covered today. Maybe just as we come back to close up, how would you suggest that someone gains clarity on confusing or complicated matters that might be challenging? I've known a lot of Christians who, when they just asked something and they feel like they're in a corner, they run to Deuteronomy 29:29, which says that those things that are revealed is for us, but the things that are hidden are for God. And anything that is just a bit troublesome to engage, they say that is hidden. How would you suggest that someone can gain clarity on some of those challenges? Should these principles still leave the reader confused? How can they then just say, you know what, maybe I'm young, I must leave it alone, I'll come back next time? What should they rather do? And why is it important that they understand what they're reading?
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to say in a nutshell, Brother Derek. First of all, when you are reading, you know, there is one of the Protestant reformers who wrote and said that as he read the Bible, he realized what makes the Bible difficult is not the difficulty in the Bible itself, but it is the ideas that we have before we open the Bible. So sometimes the Bible is made difficult by what we are expecting to hear the Bible say, rather than just to allow the Bible to speak. So first point is remove the preconceived ideas. remove the preconceived ideas. In fact, there's a wonderful verse that I like in the book of Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 9. There is a question that is posed. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall God teach knowledge? Then it says, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then here is the answer. It says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Mm. So when someone is weaned from the milk, that means that person has a particular level of, independence. Someone who is still drinking milk, they're still dependent. So what that basically suggests is that the person that God can teach very easily is someone who is not depending on the thoughts and ideas that they've heard from others, but someone who is just willing and ready to listen to what God has to say. So it's good, yes, to reason and to think. But when you come to the word of God, you see your reasoning must bow down to the majesty of divine revelation. So you need to remove the preconceived ideas. Very, very important. Just as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 20, says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they move by the Holy Spirit. Mm. So no private interpretation at all. Remove the preconceived ideas and then just approach the word as it speaks.
As it is.
If something is difficult, yep. As it is. If something is difficult and you're struggling to understand, then point number two, after removing the preconceived ideas, that you need to read it in its context, right? Again, in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, line must be upon line and precept must be upon precept. So don't just take one verse and say, I don't understand this
run
verse. So
yeah.
There's a verse.
Yeah.
That verse you don't understand, but there's a verse before it, and then there's a verse before that one. Then there's also a verse after that verse you don't understand. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Then there's a chapter from which it is taken. Then there's a book from which it is taken. Then there's the entire Bible. So you first look in that same chapter where that verse is taken, the context. After that, you look at the context of that entire book. If you're reading maybe the book of Matthew, what is the message of Matthew? And then you look at the entire New Testament, the entire Bible, and so forth. So context is very, very important. You know, I know my time is almost up, but yeah, that's how you need to do it. You need to take the context. Like, people misrepresent things by not taking them into context. And then you need to do a topical study. Look at what the Bible says in the rest of the scriptures concerning that thing. That's how Jesus taught. In Luke 24, verse 27, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus, when he taught a particular topic, went throughout the entire Bible. So that is how we also ought to do it. Mm. Now, I don't know if I can just say one last thing. Mm-hmm. Have faith in God. God is not on trial every time you read the Bible and don't understand something. It is true that we will not understand everything about what God says, because God is infinite, you see. And also, we are like children learning in a school. When you have a huge, thick math book, when it's beginning the year, there are some problems in that math book that you can't solve. But just because you can't solve those problems, it doesn't mean that you will not now, you know, use the skills that you have already gained from that same book. You are still going to learn as the year progresses. Mm. Are you with me? How to solve other problems which are towards the end of the book. So likewise with the Bible. Likewise with the Bible. There are certain things that you will not know today, but you might know them next year or the next coming 2 years. So don't give up what you know and understand and you see to be truth just because of what you do not understand. Mm. Many people have made that mistake. So I would just say those things about dealing with things that are not so clear. Yes.
No, that's important. And I think I like how you raised this issue of another author to say, with the scriptures, somehow when we struggle, we blame God and we then discredit him and his work. But if we are to meet a hump in someone else's book, be it a textbook or something, we don't discredit the author. We try to grapple with this matter. And then sometimes we even blame the publisher, but the author is never at fault. And I think sometimes we just need a little more grace and honesty in how we are are dealing with things. Well, Butsipe, thank you so much for engaging us and equipping us this morning. And we are so indebted and grateful for how you've done this work. We now need to go and apply this work. Like you're saying, it's an issue of obedience. When you now have learned what you've heard, you need to then apply it so you to be that workman that is found to be rightly dividing the word of God. Thank you so much once again. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow.
Blessings, amen.
Thank you. And that's how we're wrapping up our study for this morning. If you have been blessed by this, don't forget you can listen again to this conversation. You can share it as a podcast. And of course, we continue to invite you to study with us, The Voice of Prophecy. Get in touch with us, +27 73 470 3520.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.